Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. President Trump accuses House Intel Chairman Adam Schiff of lying after Schiff adds his own words to Trump's phone call with Ukraine's president, Trump calling on him to resign. The acting director of National Intelligence testifies before Congress, says he couldn't release Trump's conversation with the president of Ukraine due to executive privilege, calls the case unprecedented. The Pentagon is sending air defense equipment and U.S. troops to Saudi Arabia as it seeks to stem the threat from Iran after Saudi oil field attack. It says it has more on standby that can be deployed if needed. Deaths linked to vaping now stand at 13. 805 cases of lung disease associated with vaping have been reported across the U.S. 46 states plus the Virgin Islands have been affected. And pianists from around the world gather to compete in NTD's International Piano Competition to play music from the Baroque, Classical, and Romantic periods. They talk about their experiences. President Trump is calling for House Intel Chairman Adam Schiff to resign after he fabricated parts of the transcript of the call between Trump and Ukraine's president.
During a hearing on Thursday, Schiff appeared to read from the transcript during his opening remarks, but added words that weren't in the transcript. Later in the hearing, he claimed he did that as partly in parody, and that he thought it was obvious the added words were not in the transcript. Trump said Schiff was trying to make the call sound horrible and to make him appear guilty. Schiff responded to Trump on Twitter that Trump's words needed no mockery because they mock themselves.
A new poll has found that a majority of Americans don't support impeachment proceedings against President Trump.
A Politico and Morning Consult poll, conducted before Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that the impeachment inquiry was moving forward, found that 36% of likely voters think Congress should start impeachment proceedings against Trump. That's down from 37% last week. The poll released Tuesday found that 49% said Congress should not start the impeachment proceedings. Tyler Sinclair, Morning Consult's vice president, wrote on the Politico website that, quote, despite being a popular topic in the news, support for impeachment proceedings remains relatively unchanged in the past week, unquote. Representative Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and Senator Richard Burr, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, publicly released the whistleblower complaint Thursday.
Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire testified before Congress today. He says he did everything by the book in reviewing the complaint about President Trump's conversation with the President of Ukraine.
House Democrats have criticized McGuire for withholding the complaint for weeks. The complaint was released to Congress on Wednesday and to the public Thursday, just before the hearing. McGuire said he could not legally release the complaint because the exchange between two world leaders is subject to executive privilege.
Counsel determined that the complaint's allegations do not meet the statutory requirement, definition concern, legal urgent concern.
He also said he believes the matter is unprecedented. The complaint shows that in a July phone call, Trump urged Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate whether former Vice President Joe Biden used U.S. aid as leverage to get a Ukrainian prosecutor fired in order to protect his son Hunter Biden. Ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, Rep. Devin Nunes, accused his Democratic colleagues' inquiry of being unhinged and dangerous.
They don't want answers. They want a public spectacle. And so we've been treated to an unending parade of press releases, press conferences, and fake news stories.
He called the hearing itself another example.
Whistleblower inquiries should not be held in public at all. As our Senate counterparts, both Democrats and Republicans, obviously understand, their hearing with Mr. McGuire is behind closed doors.
Trump has denied any wrongdoing.
The Pentagon says it will send additional U.S. troops and air defense systems to Saudi Arabia to help the kingdom protect itself against Iranian attacks.
The air defense equipment includes one Patriot missile battery and four advanced Sentinel radars that can track drones and cruise missiles. The Pentagon said two more Patriot batteries and a THAAD missile defense system are also ready to go to Saudi Arabia if needed. The Pentagon says that the sending of military equipment demonstrates the United States' quote, commitment to regional partners and the security and stability in the Middle East, unquote. Since last week, the U.S. has been deciding how to respond to what U.S. officials call an unprecedented Iranian attack on Saudi oil facilities that took place September 14th. The U.S. and several EU countries have blamed Iran for the attack, which Iran denies it was behind. The Trump administration is also considering other non-military actions against Iran, including cyber attacks on the country's infrastructure.
The Trump administration says it plans to lower the number of refugees to be resettled in the United States in 2020 to 18,000 in an attempt to clear the backlog.
According to the State Department, the cut is necessary to clear the buildup of claims and the security and humanitarian crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border straining the immigration system. The State Department said the current burden must be alleviated before it can resettle many of the people. Senior administration officials said the U.S. will accept people based on special humanitarian interest rather than region. Under the new cap, the U.S. will accept up to 5,000 people fleeing religious persecution, 4,000 for Iraqis who have assisted the U.S. military, and 1,500 spots for people from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. An additional 7,500 migrants seeking family reunification and who have already been cleared for resettlement could also be accepted. Along with the new cap, President Trump also issued an executive order which would seek the approval of state and local governments before resettling refugees in their communities.
Hundreds more Americans have been reported to have a vaping-related breathing illness, and the death toll has risen to 13.
The 13th vaping-associated death was reported in Oregon Thursday. It marks the second such death in that state. Oregon's health authority issued a warning urging all residents to stop vaping. The governor is also asking the Department of Justice for options to control or ban the sale of vaping devices. Other states and cities have taken steps to more strictly regulate the products. In Mississippi, so far, 4 people are seriously sick with lung injuries tied to vaping. They're all between the ages of 18 and 34. Other deaths were previously reported in California, Kansas, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Missouri, Oregon, Florida, and Georgia. There are now 805 cases of lung disease associated with the use of e-cigarettes or vaping products in 46 states and the U.S. Virgin Islands. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Experts are urging teens and adults to stop using e-cigarettes. NTD News.
A Southern California woman is raising the alarm about sex ed curricula being taught in California schools. NTD's Eileen Ang has more on what's in them and how parents can opt out.
Comprehensive sex education is not what most people think about.
Gina Gleason, executive director of Real Impact, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, says most parents would find the content appalling. The California Healthy Youth Act, or AB 329, is a comprehensive sexual education curriculum for students from kindergarten through 12th grade and ensures that students in grades 7 to 12 have HIV/AIDS prevention education. It was signed into California law in 2015 and took effect in 2016. School districts can choose what kinds of materials to teach and provide resources for students. However, there are concerns regarding its content. The law allows parents to opt their child out of the program, but many parents do not know what exactly is being taught. And it's not just about the disease.
If they want to learn biology, that's fine. But they're promoting these sexual orientations, gender identities, these even sometimes sex acts as normal and healthy.
Students are also taught the acceptance of sex outside of marriage, giving graphic novels of nudity, and learn how to obtain birth control or abortions without their parents' knowledge. According to Linda Chavez, the president of a local school board, parents wouldn't support the curriculum if they knew what was being taught.
Parents are being told something different. Oh no, this is good. They think it's the same education that they got when they were children. It is not. It's totally different. It's more geared to what their agenda is.
Parents can opt out their child through a form and learn more about it online.
Once the form is filled out, parents make sure the school's principal receives it.
Hand it in, mail it in, fax it in, email it in. Do whatever you can to make sure that the school principal gets the opt-out form. Then you're going to follow up to make sure that they did get the opt-out form. And the school will be notified that your child should not take part in this classroom course.
Gleason says they will be producing more videos with instructions to help parents better protect their children. They can also learn how to opt their child out through their website, realimpact.us. Eileen Ng, NTD News, San Jose, California.
This week, pianists came together for NTD's fifth international piano competition, where 15 contestants have earned their place in the semifinals.
With their love for traditional music, pianists found themselves on the other side of the world in New York. Galina Zhukova, professor at the Art Institute of St. Petersburg University of Russia, was one of them.
Combines traditional values of Western and Eastern people. I think it's really important now.
She started to play the piano when she was 5 and won her first competition at 10 years old. Although she participates in many competitions, she appreciates NTD's International Piano Competition's mission to preserve and promote traditional music in the modern world.
And I'm glad that in this competition I can show this repertoire.
The repertoire is limited to piano music from the Baroque, classical, and Romantic periods and has attracted many musicians worldwide. Hailing from Russia, Evangelia comes from a family of musicians and started playing when she was just 3. Having competed in multiple competitions worldwide and won a slew of awards, she found herself in love with the classics.
I think it's like about 20th and 21st century. It's actually, I wouldn't say that it's my cup of tea. And I'm much better in Baroque and classical period of classical music.
The semifinal and final will be held in the Baruch Performing Arts Center in New York City and will also be broadcasted live on September 27th and 28th on NTD's website and Facebook page. NTD News, New York.
Up next, a U.S. senator suggests granting Hong Kong protesters special immigration status in the United States. U.S. Senator Todd Youngs today saying he will work on initiatives to create a special immigration status for Hong Kong protesters. NTD's Penny Zhou has the story.
I believe we should welcome Hong Kongers who believe that rights are not the gifts of government. They are gifts from God or a creator or whatever.
Young said the U.S. should help the protesters who continue to face government prosecution and thug attacks as they fight for values that are shared by the American people. He said if they can't do so at home, then they should be allowed to advance democracy in the U.S. Hong Kong pro-democracy activist Nathan Law applauded the suggestion and said that it will help boost the morale for those who also believe in these universal values. Former National Security Advisor Stephen Yates suggested that U.S. lawmakers should also seek access and visit the detention centers where many protesters are kept. Multiple cases of police violence and torture have been reported against protesters in such facilities. Senator Cory Gardner asked Yates to provide a list of such facilities. Yates echoed President Trump's Monday speech to the U.N., saying China's actions regarding Hong Kong should decide U.S.-China policy in the future.
How China chooses to handle the situation in Hong Kong tells us a great deal about the kind of country it's becoming.
He said that U.S. now faces 2 key tests.
Number 1, can Beijing be trusted to honor international obligations? Number 2, can the People's Republic of China peacefully coexist with any free society? And how they're handling the situation in Hong Kong, I would have to say, is not reassuring on either of those tests.
Hong Kong could fully return to Chinese rule when the One Country, Two Systems framework expires in 2047. When asked whether that future is concerning, Nathan Law said that many youngsters in Hong Kong are determined to not let it go that way.
But I do believe that we've got 20-something years to change China. And I don't think China is unchangeable. We need to have faith on that.
He said a change in U.S.-China policies can help Hong Kong in its struggles.
The way we treat China has to see it as an expanded authoritarian regime that actually eating up the fruit of democracy and sending out a totalitarian order to the rest of the world. So we have to be aware of that, not only just to make business to them, but we need to have a value-orientated.
Penny Zhou, NTD News.
Two women testified at a UN event about how their parents became the victims of forced organ harvesting in China. NTD's Miguel Moreno has more on what is being called a crime against humanity.
The independent UK-based China Tribunal concluded this summer that the Chinese regime is forcibly harvesting the organs from prisoners of conscience, amounting to crimes against humanity. And at an event hosted by Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, or DAFO, and the Romanian Independent Society of Human Rights, or CIRDO, the daughters of two victims shared their stories.
Because our whole family practiced Falun Gong, we were persecuted by the Communist Party and our family was destroyed. And my father was put into a freezer while he was still alive and his organs were harvested without the consent of our family.
Zheng Li and Han Yu said their fathers were imprisoned, tortured, and then had their organs harvested.
When I saw my father's body, I still couldn't believe that it was real. My father was laying there with countless scars.
Former Canadian Secretary of State David Kilgore has been investigating China's forced organ removal for years. He said that the Chinese regime has been targeting prisoners of conscience, primarily Falun Gong, but also Christians, Buddhists, and Uyghur Muslims. At least six countries have passed laws targeting China's organ trade.
There's only one country in the world out of 195 countries where it's happening, to my knowledge, and that's China. So if countries like, say, Norway have passed laws, why doesn't the United States pass a law? Why doesn't...
He concluded through his research that of the 41,500 transplants done in China from 2000 to 2005, one group of people were the primary source.
And this is where we go back to the China Tribunal that found evidence, significant evidence, that the organs come primarily from Falun Gong practitioners, who are specifically targeted with blood tests, medical exams, etc.
The panelists, like the China Tribunal members, are now urging the United Nations to investigate forced organ harvesting in China. Miguel Moreno, NTD News, New York.
Up next, over 300 people freed in raid at a Muslim school building in Nigeria. Children from Nigeria and other African countries found chained by hands and ankles. Teachers arrested. More on that story when we return. Russia is saying border guards are detaining three North Korean fishing vessels and 262 crew members for poaching in waters that Moscow considers its own exclusive economic zone.
The crew and vessels and several motorboats have been taken to Russia's far east port of Nakhodka for investigation. Officials later confirmed the border guards have seized 30,000 squid as well as illegal fishing equipment. A poaching activity of three small vessels and five boats belonging to North Korea has been stopped in the Russian waters of Japan Sea. 262 North Korean fishers, crew members, were detained. It is the second such incident this month. Russia detained two North Korean boats in its territorial waters in the Sea of Japan on September 17th after one of them attacked a Russian patrol. Moscow summoned a North Korean diplomat over the incident. There are frequent disputes over fishing rights in the Sea of Japan, which is shared by Japan, Russia, North and South Korea. In July, Moscow accused Pyongyang of illegally detaining one of its fishing vessels. North Korea said the crew had been detained for violating the rules of entering its territory. NTD News.
And in Nigeria, a police spokesman today saying that more than 300 captives, most of them children and many in chains, have been rescued from captivity.
Boys aged from around 5 to late teens with their hands and ankles manacled together. Others were seen with their legs chained to large metal hubcaps. Nigeria police said the building housed an Islamic school and that seven people, thought to be teachers at the school, had been arrested in the raid on Thursday. It was not clear how long the children had been held there.
Small children, some of them are brought from our neighboring countries, Burkina Faso, Mali, Ghana and the rest. And the children gathered here are from all over the country, across all over the country.
Islamic schools, known as al-Majiris, are common across the mostly Muslim north of Nigeria. a country that is roughly evenly split between followers of Christianity and Islam. Earlier this year, the government of President Muhammadu Buhari, himself a Muslim, said it planned to eventually ban the schools, but would not do so immediately. NTD News.
Up next, top Lego builders accept awards for amazing Lego sculptures. Gather in Danish town where Legos were invented. Prepare for public exhibition of their works. More on that after the break. From waste to beauty, this luxury brand gives another life to items heading to landfill. NTD's Jane Wirral in the UK has the story.
Heading to landfill before this entrepreneur decided to rescue it.
Although it's no longer fire hose and it can no longer be used to save lives, that doesn't mean the material has to die.
The story begins in 2005 in Croydon, South London, when Canadian-born Cressé caught sight of disused fire hose for the first time.
I saw this beautiful rooftop filled with coiled up gorgeous red hoses. It was really at that moment that I decided to rescue the fire hose. I knew.
Shocked that the London Fire Brigade sent several tons of it to landfill every year, she soon set to work with her partner James, creating prototypes in their Brixton flat share with a budget of just $50. The first success was a belt. Now their products range from iPad cases to luxury handbags. By 2010, they were turning all the unwanted fire hoses from the London Fire Brigade into fashion items, with 50% of the profit going to the firefighters' charity.
The business model that we have is based entirely on goodness and goodwill. It's a partnership. It's a collaboration. We're friends. They're stakeholders. We're in this together.
Here in their workshop in Kent, the company gives another life to 15 other types of so-called waste. Decommissioned parachutes line their bags and they've collected these offcuts. Stored here is 3 days' worth of Burberry's unwanted leather, cut into interlocking shapes and created into something new in workshops like this one in central London.
We take something with no value and we embed it with as much love and care and attention as we can and turn it into something of high value.
Globally, there's 800,000 tons of leather waste produced per year. Over time, Cressé wants to work on repurposing waste from the wider leather industry. A business excited by problems and growing to solve them, reclaiming what looks like landfill and turning it into luxury. Reporting from the UK, Jane Wirral, NTD News.
15 of the world's most talented Lego builders gathered in the town where Legos were invented to accept recognition for their creations.
The Lego builders were invited to the home of the Lego brick, the Lego House in Billund, Denmark, to exhibit their creations. Around 700,000 adult Lego fans worldwide go by the name AFOL, Adult Fans of Lego, and 15 lucky Lego builders from Asia, Europe and North America are now getting the chance to exhibit their imaginative creations at the Lego House.
This is very special. It's not only is it sort of a beautiful model, a beautiful construction of a face, but it has a fantastic and surprising mechanism inside it. So when you open the head up, it reveals this fantastic creation.
In selecting the works for the exhibition, the winners were chosen because they challenged the perception of what can be built using Lego bricks. The exhibitors had to transport their sometimes fragile models to Billund and help install them so that they would be displayed exactly as intended.
We all strive to make it aesthetically pleasing. And then if you're going to display in conventions, then it has to be reasonably stable, otherwise you're going to be rebuilding it again.
The exhibition will be open to the public starting Friday.
A baby humpback whale got caught in shark nets off of Australia's east coast yesterday. It was hooked by its pectoral fin and mouth off the waters of Nanusa in the state of Queensland. The calf's mother could only watch while rescuers from the state fisheries department worked to free the calf. After about 3 hours of detangling it, the baby swam off with its mother. And that's all for today's NTD News. Join us tonight. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Tiffany Meyer.